18 in Vienna, 20 in Hyattsville, 21 in Washington. Traffic and weather is sponsored by Principal Medical Group. Congress's week ahead is going to be all about working to avert a government shutdown. Find out more at WMAL.com.
All ahead on Mornings with LeMond, Vince Colonnais, with the very stable genius, Mary Walter.
Oh, you're too kind. You're too kind. Let's give that accolade to our next guest, Joe DeGeneva, legal analyst, former U.S. attorney to the District of Columbia. Genius Joe, how are you this morning?
I'm even better now.
That's gonna be my new Trumpian name for you, yeah. Genius Joe.
All right, I accept.
All right, let's talk about the president's mental health and this talk of 25th Amendment. Politico's reporting that back in December, a Yale University psychiatry professor, one Dr. Lee, spent 2 days on Capitol Hill talking to lawmakers, all Democrats, one Republican, regarding her professional opinion of President Trump's mental health. Is this actually the one thing that will finally take hold for the Democrats trying to get Trump out of office?
No, I think not. I think this is all going to be overcome by things that we're going to talk about later. But let me just say this about this woman, psychiatrist. What she did violates all the standards of the American Psychiatric Association and the American Psychological Association. She has violated their rules. She has acted unethically. She should be brought up on charges before both of these professional organizations. And a number of Republican organizations and good government groups should file complaints with those organizations demanding that they investigate her. In addition, her employer should have people have information sent to them and requests asking why she is permitted to do this. This is absolutely disgraceful. And what it does is it makes psychiatrists and psychologists whom people go to for assistance look like political hacks. How can you possibly believe that any of the people out there practicing medicine in this way and psychiatry are going to keep your information confidential? What this woman is doing is an insult to every honest person that practices psychology and psychiatry. She is an embarrassment to her profession, and her profession ought to do something about it.
Since last we talked, Joe, the Steve Bannon story broke over last week in which he referred to the Trump Tower meeting as treasonous. He's now clarifying who he considers to fit that bill. But regardless of that, is there any version of that Trump Tower meeting that you would construe as treasonous?
No, there isn't. There is a part of it that's treasonous, though, and that was the illegal FISA wiretaps that were used to intercept communications by President-elect Trump and his staff. We'll get to this later, but when all is said and done, there is a fast-developing story about how the Justice Department, under their National Security Division, and the FBI, under their Counterintelligence Division, set about doing illegal surveillance of Trump and his associates. Let me underscore, when the president said he had been wiretapped by the president, he was absolutely correct.
All right. Well, let's go there now. Tell us this morning what's on your mind, and I imagine what you're hearing as well.
Well, what we know now, without any doubt, is that sometime in early 2016, Mike Rogers, who was and remains the head of the National Security Agency, which is our electronic spying organization, discovered that there was illegal surveillance being conducted under 702. That's the section of the FISA Act that they're trying to reauthorize that allows the collection of megadata about Americans' phones and emails. He discovered it. He ordered an audit by the NSA audit officer. That audit officer discovered violations of federal law. When it was discovered by Mike Rogers' superiors, Clapper and Brennan, that he had done this, they tried to get him fired. And that was because what Rogers had discovered was that the FBI Counterintelligence Division and the National Security Division of DOJ had worked together to get these wiretaps that were, in fact, illegal. What happened after that is even more astounding. After the election, Mike Rogers, without the authority of Clapper or Brennan, went to New York and briefed President-elect Trump on November the 17th about the illegal spying. The next day, Trump moved his entire staff out of Trump Tower and over to his Bedminster, New Jersey facility. The effort to fire Rogers never succeeded. He remains there. He has testified before the House Intelligence Committee, as well as in the and has provided detailed information about the activity. I think that there is going to be a day of reckoning relatively soon for people in the Department of Justice under Loretta Lynch, and Comey is dead meat. I have to tell you, I think he and his counterintelligence head are dead meat. This is an amazing scandal. This was a coup d'etat. This was an attempt to spy on a president-elect because they didn't like him.
Mike Rogers, they were finding out from this past weekend, according to Politico, set to retire this spring.
Correct.
He's announced his retirement.
Right.
But this is kind of amazing stuff. He was brought in after Ed Snowden's leaks were and to sort of clean up the agency to take care of the internal stuff. And that's exactly the type of stuff that he would have been looking at, this Section 702. So in the process, you're saying not only did he look, but he found things, and that made the Obama administration uncomfortable?
Very uncomfortable, in fact, because they knew what they had been doing, that they had bootstrapped FISA warrants based on political data. This is how the dossier comes into play. And by the way, no matter what interpretation you take of the dossier, whether it was used to start the probe or it was used to bootstrap a probe that had already been started, it doesn't matter. The point is, it was used in front of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court, and they knew that the information in it was not valid, had not been verified, and they lied to the FISA court about its authenticity and about the substance of what it contained. This is really quite remarkable. And when all is said and done, you'll notice that the former director of national intelligence, John Clapper, has begun to mumble a little bit more on television rather than making clear, bold statements. That's because John Clapper is in the middle of all of this, along with John Brennan, the former head of the Central Intelligence Agency. Brennan, by the way, will go down in history as the most politically corrupt director of Central Intelligence we have ever had.
All right, we want to ask you more about this in a moment. Got to get the traffic, but we're going to hang on to Joe because a lot of interesting information this morning. As usual, Joe DeGeneva, thank you. We'll be back with you in a second. Now, Joe, you're talking about how Mike Rogers, the NSA director, found out about all sorts of illegal use of the government's surveillance capabilities against the president-elect in the run-up, and you say notified the president of the United States. Can you give us a sense of sort of how you know any or all of this, including if you're hearing stuff that's just not been reported yet?
Yes. Well, as a result of communications with former FBI officials and people on Capitol Hill with knowledge, I've been getting a lot of information from, and for example, the other day I got a letter from 43 former FBI agents concerning the conduct of operations inside the Bureau during this counterintelligence operation. So there's lots of information out there, and all of this information is currently in the possession of the House Intelligence Committee.
That was my next question. So yes. House Intel has this?
Oh, yeah. In fact, all of this has been confirmed by them. And it's interesting, you know, Nunes took a bunch of heat when President Trump took office. You will recall that Nunes went to the White House and reviewed some documents that had been provided by the NSA, read Admiral Rogers, and in the NSC offices over at the White House, and that's when he held his famous press conference saying he had seen things that had nothing to do with Russian collusion. These were the illegal intercepts that he saw. Those were the dozen, what are called, these were printouts that were viewed by Susan Rice and others in the White House after they had requested the unmasking of Trump associates. That's what Nunes saw, and that's what he realized. And, of course, Rogers, Admiral Rogers, was directly responsible for that information going to the White House. One thing that's very interesting, in the midst of all this, prior to the election in October, when Admiral Rogers was doing his investigation and reporting all of this, by the way, to the FISA court, what he was discovering, the head of the National Security Division at Justice, John Carlin, resigned in the middle of all of this. It's really kind of weird that he would have resigned prior to the election when it was clear that, quote, Hillary was going to win and he was in line for a bigger job. Unfortunately, what he discovered was that Admiral Rogers got his number and was reporting his name to the FISA court as one of the people who had been involved in providing information to the FISA court, which at that point they did not deem reliable. In addition, look at what's happening today. Judge Contreras, who took Mike Flynn's guilty plea, has recused himself from any further proceedings in the Flynn case. Now, ask yourself a question. Why did Judge Contreras recuse himself now after he took the guilty plea? Why didn't he recuse himself before he took the guilty plea? How can he have a conflict now and not have a conflict at the time he took the guilty plea? The answer is Judge Contreras was one of the judges sitting on the FISA court. And the question has been asked, what FISA warrants was he involved in and what did he review? That question has not been answered either by him, the U.S. District Court, the United States Court of Appeals, or the FISA Court. I assume that Nunes and his people have the answer, and it will be part of their report. And I think the reason the judge recused himself was that he has learned that his work in this, which I'm not doubting anything that Judge Contreras did, by the way, he probably acted properly, got stuff in writing and under oath from FBI agents and DOJ lawyers and acted upon it. The question remains, why did he sit in a case where he may have reviewed warrants? So it's a very interesting question, and it simply adds to the pile of evidence that the real treason that went on here was not by the Trump campaign or the Trump-elect presidency, but by people at DOJ and the FBI who conspired to frame an incoming president of the United States with false crimes.
Joe, very quickly, the House Intelligence Committee has this information. How quickly does this move?
Pretty fast, because the IG's report from the Inspector General of the Department of Justice will be issuing a report, some say in the spring, I say much sooner, in which he will make recommendations, one of which will be to impanel a grand jury against the FBI and DOJ officials who violated federal law.
Wow, okay. Well, Joe DeGenova, please keep on keeping your ear to the ground and your voice to the telephone receiver. We'll keep finding out what you know. Appreciate it, sir.
You bet.